Now, there was that song. There was that song that, oh, the girl that sang Blue.
Who? I don't know what I'm talking about. Look. No,
she was a young girl. She sang.
Leanne Rimes?
Yes! Oh, yeah, you got it!
Welcome to the Board Game Snobs Podcast. Critically harsh reviews with a touch of class.
Go.
Are we live?
We're live.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Board Game Snobs Podcast. With me is my cohort, Gobby.
Hey, what's up?
And my other cohort.
Hola.
No, no.
What?
No.
Whatever.
Look, I know we probably do have some listeners.
Just the basics.
We do have some listeners.
What?
That are probably bilingual.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we're big in Mexico.
We can name
all right.
Him. Well, you know, I think this is good to bring out because everybody's so much about everything being inclusive.
Yeah.
And everything. Inclusive. Gobby's Brazilian, right? Where's your dad from?
Chile.
Chilean. I get that mixed up. I'm sorry. Chile.
I'm half Chilean, half Long Beach.
Long Beach. And Enrique is from Mexico.
Yeah.
I am a Native American.
That's right.
I am 1/128 Native American.
That's all that counts.
That's all that counts. The rest is just good old-fashioned Irish. So
you get all the benefits for the Choctaw.
Yeah, Choctaw.
You're Choctaw, right?
I'm Choctaw.
So you get all the benefits.
And I'm on the benefits.
Oklahoma.
Of Oklahoma.
Must be nice.
It's nice because we took that land. It was an area control.
With yours?
And we took it. After y'all took it.
So it takes how many woods to make a casino?
Three. Well, we got those casinos figured out, which makes me think of... Man, Lords of Vegas. I've been wanting to play that again so much.
It's my favorite game.
I got
you bought this like hard to get expansion.
The up expansion.
I got it. And we never played it.
I was so excited. I got the up expansion.
Because
that is my favorite. I hate negotiation.
Yes.
I hate it.
I love it though.
It's my favorite negotiation
and
game.
I bought that.
And I love playing that game.
I bought that game for you.
I know you did, and I love it.
And I love that you love it.
Bring up Lords of Vegas. I kind of want to play Chinatown again as well.
No.
You've struck my heart.
No, I could care.
Chinatown. I'm going to tell you just right now, the purest, best negotiation game ever, Chinatown.
No.
No frills, nothing extra.
I mean, that's all you can do, yes. You're right. You're correct. Purest negotiation, because that's all you can do is negotiate.
Here's the deal. This is a freebie for you. If you just love negotiation, Chinatown. If you want a wild and crazy time, you go to Las Vegas. But yeah.
You want to do some betting. I love the betting aspect.
Which is why you stayed broke the whole time. But yeah, I love Las Vegas. Lords of Vegas.
Didn't I win that?
Vincent Vega.
Oh, no, we doubt it.
Vincent Vega.
Huh?
What? Sorry, I'm just talking. Just talking.
You remember, do you ever see...
No, haven't seen it.
What's it? Oh!
I haven't seen it.
Oh,
I don't
it's
remember.
The Nicolas Cage movie, 90s. They like crash land a plane in the middle of the Vegas Strip.
Oh, Con Air.
Con Air.
Because here's the thing. I used to think that the guy that was the bad guy who played Cyrus the Virus.
Robin Bird.
Malkovich. I love him as an actor. He was super cheesy. I remember watching that show when it came out on TNT, just watching it come out, and he just cheesy as is. He cheesed it up.
That's called eating the scenery.
Yeah.
He was chewing up the scenery.
But the true villain in that show?
Who?
Dave Chappelle.
Was he in that show?
Dave Chappelle was the guy that crashed.
I don't remember him.
Dave Chappelle crashed the show. Look, he crashed the plane. He was the guy that got the plane.
I don't remember that.
Dave Chappelle was the one that got the plane over. This is before the Chappelle show.
I loved that movie. Like it was in that hemisphere, there was like Con Air, The Rock, and some other. But they're like Michael Bay type movies. Con Air is a Michael Bay type movie.
What was Michael Bay?
I don't think it
Hang
was.
On. Was it either Zuckerberg or not Zuckerberg? That's the Facebook guy.
Jerry Bruckheimer.
Bruckheimer.
It was a Bruckheimer movie produced, but I don't think it was a Michael Bay directed. But it should have been. Because it was very Bruckheimer.
Why are we talking about this?
Las Vegas. What you talking about?
Who?
Nicolas Cage.
A lot of our listeners are from Vegas.
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe's from Vegas. I want to know right now.
He's going to Dice Tower West.
Is that truly what happened?
What?
Did Con Air land in Vegas? Is that really how bad that town is? I'm scared to go to Vegas.
It's not that bad.
That's how.
Have you been
ended.
To Vegas?
Yeah.
Enrique's been to Vegas.
I've never been to Vegas.
What were you doing in Vegas?
I want to go to Vegas. Never been there.
I was on a family road trip with my family.
You have a family?
A family road trip usually doesn't bring the family.
You have a family?
Yeah.
And they took you to Vegas?
Yeah.
What for?
We were just
on a road trip that included going on a road.
There's nothing there but casinos and hepatitis.
Pretty much.
And other things.
Hepatitis.
Hepatitis. Yes, we'll go that route.
Anyways.
Enrique.
No offense to our Vegas listeners.
I've heard.
What have you heard?
Las Vegas is an excellent place to visit because there are so many things to do.
I want
to
go there.
It's like the greater Branson.
I've been to Branson twice. I also have recently completed my hepatitis B vaccination.
You should go.
And my booster. And so I'm going to get my tetanus. And I think probably next year, maybe, go to Vegas. Is there a board game thing out that way?
I think there's one called Dice Tower West.
Who?
Dice Tower?
Who's Dice Tower?
Tom Basso?
Huh? Who?
I don't know.
On this episode, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the following games. We're going to talk.
Director of Con Air, Simon West.
Don't know him, but he's out.
Writer, West. Scott Rosenberg. He wrote it. He wrote all those genius lines like, my little hummingbird. Now, there was that song. There was that song that, the girl that sang Blue.
Who? I don't know what I'm talking about. Look,
it was a young girl. She sang Blue.
Leanne Rimes?
Yes!
Oh, yay! You got it!
Yes!
Man!
She made a version of it, but Trisha Yearwood also sang the same song coming from Con Air.
Wow.
And it was a mega hit song.
I want to tell you this right now. I don't like country, but it very much disturbs me that you just said that girl, and I knew who you were talking about.
That's all you need to know.
Man. So on this episode, we're going to be talking about Brass and its two implementations, Birmingham and Lancashire. And then we're going to talk about Rise of Tribes.
How do I live? Just FYI.
How do I live without? How do I live without you?
For a moment there, I thought you were literally asking a question. How do I live?
He doesn't live without me.
No. Jerry is my everything.
Well, then.
He's the wind in my sails.
Okay,
the wind beneath my wings.
That and my wife. I love my wife, too. And my two kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those two.
Those two.
When the kids get old enough to play board games, I'll love them even more.
Not so much now.
I have a question. If my kids get old enough and they completely revolt and are like, Dad just sits around playing board games and they don't like board games.
What do you do?
Can you give them away? I mean, what do you do? I'm worried about that. I'm actually worried.
You just revert back to me and Enrique.
But what if, here's the thing.
So, Dad, listen, we're sick of you pushing these board games on us. We don't want nothing to do with them. You say, that's okay, kids. I love you anyway.
No.
I'll always have
Gabby. Here's what's going to happen. Well, one of the kids is probably going to like play board games, another won't. And then that one that will play with me will be my favorite.
There you go.
The other one will be like, I never got a car. Why'd she get a car? Because she plays Barony with me.
Most likely, yes. It's going to be your little girl.
Yeah.
Most
likely. Boy, she's killing it already.
Yeah.
She is killing it. She is smart. Anyways.
Do they like playing anything right now?
We have a little kids game called, it's like a, can't think of it. It's a game.
Some of a fox.
Yeah, it's like the fox. It's a fox game.
Star Fox?
No, that's a video game.
Board games. Oh my God.
Why are you here?
Whatever.
Anyways.
You guys just said
game. It's a game where you try to figure out which fox got in the chicken house.
Fox in the forest.
And you fix
in the hen house?
No, it's just like Sly Fox or something like that.
Sly Fox.
But you end up looking at clues and figuring out like, the guy who broke in the chicken house wore a monocle. And then you look at all the other pictures of the fox and figure it out which one's wearing the monocle.
I remember you saying that game.
It's a great game.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I can't think of the name of it.
A game for children, but I don't really think it's for children, but I want it to be because I've thought about a friend of mine that has a daughter that likes patchwork very much, and she did quite well in patchwork.
Really? How old was she?
I think she's like 8.
And she tore it up on patchwork?
Oh, she tore it up. She grasped it, and she was ready to go. I gave the game to her because she loved it so much.
I wondered where it at. She liked it that much?
It's her game.
Nice.
And she gets her parents to play it every night. The new graphic novel games.
What you talking about?
They just come out.
I'm blanking on them.
They're the new. There's one called... hold on.
What's it about?
Hold on. I'll fill this in later.
Enrique, tell me what you've been doing.
Today?
No, not today.
Oh.
Like in general.
Oh, in general? Fine. Yesterday, I was doing cleaning.
Cleaning?
Yeah, cleaning.
What did you clean?
The Baptist Village. It's like a nursing.
It's a nursing home. You cleaned a nursing home.
Yeah, it's just we did a couple of hallways. And I
made, you buffed the floor.
Yeah, wax, seal, whatever.
Did you see old people while you were there?
Yeah, we saw a bunch of old people there. It's like they're just like walking. It's like, oh, can I go through? Like, no, sir. Like back, no, back away. No, let me.
Okay, before you say something offensive. The graphic novel adventures. The first one is called Captive, volume number one in the new graphic novel adventures game book. And like you walk, have you not heard of these?
Go ahead, go tell me the other ones.
You remember the?
Tell me the other ones.
Stop.
I know what you're talking about. Tell me the other ones, please.
There's a Sherlock Holmes.
Would you be surprised if I told you I have those sitting on my shelf and I haven't opened them?
Lou Guerou.
I have Captive. No, I have.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Are you serious right now?
I kickstarted them. And they're on my shelf. And I have the Sherlock one. And I opened it up and looked at it and have not.
Can you please give them to me when you're done?
Yes.
Okay.
Done.
I can't believe you've held this from
me. I've had Dale's.
Because as a young man growing up,
yeah,
Choose Your Own Adventure was like one of my favorite things in
the world. Well, we didn't do a review of them or read through them, but you'll like the Sherlock one. I have not done. There's like a Western one,
I think. Western one. They say it's the most like involved.
That's one I got. I got that, the Sherlock one, and one other. I can't remember the other one.
I think the Sherlock one might be one of the easier ones because some of them have like a sheet that's got like your player powers. Yeah. And you have to mark stuff off as you go along and your abilities and all that stuff.
They look pretty cool, but I haven't.
The Western one is supposed to be like the most involved one because it's like got a bunch of crap you got to keep track of.
Well, I'll get through them. Well, I'll bring you one. I'll bring you the Western one.
I appreciate that. But I thought about that for children. Uh-huh. But I don't know that they're for children. I don't know.
They're not.
There's a couple of them that the story, I don't know if the stories are for children. They might be kind of heavy.
They don't be recommending stuff that's not for children. The Sherlock Holmes Tattoo, kids. It's a great book.
The Sherlock Holmes ones looked real cartoonish.
It is cartoonish. But there is, I haven't, like I said, I just like started the first little case. It's like trying to find a cat.
Yeah.
And it was very cartoony.
And you just pick your stuff and.
Like Sherlock is not doing cocaine like in the book.
You got three doors to pick.
Yeah.
A cocaine, heroin, or weed. Which one's Sherlock going to do?
He's going after that. He's going to have that angel dust.
That sweet stuff.
I find that very odd that they wrote that in Sherlock. Like he was a drug addict.
Yeah.
I find that was a, I don't know. There's something about that. Like they're trying to make him human. And they're like, what would this genius do that would be so shocking? What would be the one? Okay. Yeah. He does. He plays the violin and he does cocaine. And I just thought that was just, I don't know. When I read the books for the first time, I thought, what is that all about?
And the TV show kind of veered for that.
It starts.
But then it severely implies that he's hooked on stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Benedict.
It's just very interesting watching the development of that. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about Brass, Birmingham, and Lancashire.
Brass. Birmingham.
I don't know what you do in Brass.
Lancashire.
What are you trying to do? You're a developer? It's made by Martin Wallace, and I've got the deluxe edition that just arrived from Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And we have played them and played them and played them. I've played the... All right. First off, me and Enrique played the two-player variant on Lancashire. And then we played the four-player...
It's not Lancashire.
It's Lancashire.
Is it?
Lancashire.
Lancashire. Mm. Something like that. Also, with Brass... With the Birmingham, we played a four-player Birmingham. And we just now completed, at the time of this recording, we just now completed a three-player game of Lancashire. Lancaster is the...
Lancashire.
I will say
you said Lancaster, basically, is what you just said.
Nobody who's American can pronounce that.
Lancashire.
You just stop. Lancashire. You're embarrassing yourself.
I do not know how to say it.
You're embarrassing yourself. It's the original Brass.
Bush bullets in hell.
And to go over the differences here, in case you're wondering, which you're probably not wondering, but with Birmingham and the original Brass, Birmingham utilizes beer to sell certain things.
That's what I'm talking about.
Which is kind of an interesting mechanic.
Gee.
And it does something slightly different with of course, with the board, but also with wild cards. Which makes getting a wild card more important. It gives you a little, it's more powerful in Birmingham.
It gives you two actions.
Gives you two actions. Whereas in Lancashire, there is this foreign market thing that I really like. Because when you ship goods, you can drive and saturate the market to where you can't sell to the foreign market anymore, which can really mess up your competitors. This right.
Two of the. There's a canal era.
There's a canal era. There's
a railroad era.
So those are the two scoring phases.
You can drive down the foreign market to zero.
Yes.
Once it reaches zero, you can no longer trade with the foreign market.
Yes, you have to build your own ports and ship them that way, which is a problem.
And for you to understand all that, you would basically have to read the rules and understand Lancashire or what we're talking about.
Or just watch it played. He does an excellent run through of the game.
Watch it played.
I will say this.
We're pro Rotto. Rodney.
Rodney.
I'm pro Rotto too.
I like Rotto.
That's good.
I just don't like that he's a wuss.
Now we got to take
that. Now I'm not taking that out. Rotto has said he's a wuss. He's said he's a wuss.
He has said those words.
Okay. He says people think I'm a wuss.
He does not like to. He does not. Him and his wife do not like to fight.
No, they don't like to be
any sort of conflict there.
Which that's just fine. Some people.
Whereas me and Jerry love to fight.
I love the fight. And the deal is that if you don't fight me, I don't respect you. I took Dead Last to work, and somebody cried.
No.
They got teary-eyed. They did not like it. And everyone else was like, it's just a game. But I had like two or three people that were upset because I'm sitting at the table going.
Did you fire them?
No.
Well, they stood.
Well, no, but they went down. My
safe.
And there you go. If you don't fight. But Brass, I'm going to come right out and say it.
Do it.
Love Brass.
Which one?
Both of them. Okay. I fully intended when I kickstarted them to sell one of them. I don't think I can now. And just to clarify, Brass Birmingham, I think I like it more with 3 and 4 players. If it's just 2 players, I want to play the 2-player variant of Lancashire. I think they offer enough difference that I am committed now that I think I'm going to own them both. Like I don't.
Martin did a good thing.
Martin tore it up. Martin Wallace, man. And this is probably in terms of Euros.
It's as Euro-y as a Euro can Euro.
All right, here's the thing. I'm going to call you out on that.
Hardcore economic.
I'm going to call you out on that.
Call me out?
Yeah, it's not a
what
Euro.
What do I do?
It's not a Euro.
Economic.
It's an economic.
It's the same thing.
Now, here's the thing. I don't
what
like that.
What makes a Euro a Euro?
Here's the thing.
He's British.
I don't care if he's British. The game's not British because the person's British.
He's Euro.
He's no, that doesn't mean anything.
And he created a Euro with hard economics.
He's Brexited. He's not Euro anymore.
What makes it a Euro?
Here's the thing. I break up games in 3 categories. I do Euros. And I'm not going by the theme. I'm going by the actions. To me, a Euro is a game that's all market trading, things of that nature that has like, okay, strong worker placement elements, but not a lot of in your face action. Like I'm not taking stuff from you. I'm just kindly getting in your way. I'm not fighting you. That type of, that's a Euro. Meritrash, whatever you want to call it, fighting. An economic game is one where you actually affect each other. You actually get in each other's way. You're buying up stuff. You're bidding. You're building. I actually break games down. I know a lot of people say, oh, if it's an economy game, it's Euro. If it's got bidding, it's Euro. I don't believe that.
Basically, people say if it's not
confrontational,
it's Euro.
I break it down.
If it doesn't have dice and you don't get fight and you're not in each other's face, they consider it Euro.
Well, I will tell you this. Enrique was in my face the entire time we played Brass. We played Brass and the entire time he was in my way. He was doing stuff and it was bothering me. He was up in my business. And Brass is a game where you build stuff in anticipation of what your other players are going to be doing. So if they're building something,
you can,
which is the smart way to play. So if I see that you're building stuff that you're going to need to ship, you're going to need to sell it. So I start building ports. So hopefully you'll use my ports. If you don't use my ports, then I respond by using them myself. Or I'll build something just out of turn, just in my turn, just to provide you with the materials that you'll need to build something else. And that gives you points. I just love the fact that you're responding to the other players. And it is a brain burning game. It makes I'm excited to play it. We just got done playing it. I'd play it again right now.
However, for a brain burner game, I like the fact that even though 3 players, 4 players, I know my next 2 moves and I'm ready to go. Now, for everybody, that may not be the case, but I knew what I was going to do until realized somebody took all the stuff I needed and it messed me up.
I never planned
ahead. Then I had to alternate my plan.
I have a long-term plan of what I'm doing, like a goal, like a mission statement.
Yes.
Like in this game, I was like, I'm not worried about ships. I'm not going to worry about building ships. I'm worried about connecting and using my networks to build, you know, to be able to ship. And so you really don't think that far ahead. I mean, you have a long-term goal, but when your turn comes around, somebody may have used up what you need.
So Brass Birmingham, which uses implements the beer.
Yes.
People can use up your beer.
Which is...
Which happened to me.
Which it was first game. Devastating for and you as a beer drinker. To win.
It was quite comical.
I built a cotton and I was like, all right. And then DJ had used up all my beer. And I was like, well, dadgummit. Now I got to build a brewery.
Which are hard to build.
And I happened to build a pottery thing. We've got some points at the
everybody
end.
Likes pots like Zelda.
That kind of seems like a random thing to me in this game.
The beer?
Brass. No, the pottery.
Well, people need pots.
I know, but where it's like this game of industrialization, and it includes pottery.
They need pots. Where are they going to pee?
I don't know.
You have to have
out
pots.
The window.
Pots, crates, and cotton. That's what you need.
So Brass Birmingham on Board Game Geek is a 3.9 out of 5 complexity rating.
Yeah.
Designers Gavin Brown, Matt Tolman, and Martin Wallace.
Yeah.
So Martin Wallace, is he the singular designer on Lancashire?
Lancashire is a reimplementation of the original Brass, which I believe was out in 2007, which was very much well appreciated and loved. I think that he got with these other guys and kind of streamlined.
Designer Lancashire, singular Martin Wallace.
Yeah, Martin Wallace. This is just his thing. But I have to admit, in terms of Euros, at the end of the year, I want to do my top 5 Euros. I'm telling you.
That's going to be wait.
I don't know.
5 Euros of all time?
I don't know if it's a Euro. I'm fighting it. If this is a Euro, I'll just say this. Brass is in it. But if it's an economic game, I guarantee it's in it. This is one of my favorite economic games.
In Board Game Geek, it says under category, economic, industry, manufacturing, and transportation.
Sounds right.
Mechanisms, hand management, route, and network building.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. So, Rike, tell me your favorite thing about Brass since you're on the show and you need to contribute because I'm tired of you just sitting there chewing on your fingernails.
You leave me alone about
that.
We'll get that.
Enrique likes to eat Cheetos and then eat his fingernails.
Okay, first of all, we're not even going to get into that subject at all.
Crunchy Cheetos. Go ahead. Tell us about Brass.
Brass is a wonderful game, which I was very surprised that I was good at.
Yes.
Like,
we were too, trust us.
Yeah. It's like Jerry's trying to explain. It's like, oh, this is, and then I'm just like,
that's how I sound. Huh. That's what he did.
But what I like about it most is that I like the network.
The network?
Yeah, the network. Network.
It's wonderful.
Like giraffes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like a tower of giraffes?
Like a tower of giraffes.
But what Jerry said previously, well, actually, no.
He said lots of things previously.
What I like how you can also use people. It's
use people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How dare you?
In Brass, yes, you use people to...
Just like you to use people.
Oh, whatever. It's, you do it all the time, too. Floss. So I don't even try to get out of that.
Well, like so.
But yeah. So, when someone builds a building next to yours, and you'll be able to get certain points off a network. So you could either force someone to build there, like Jerry.
You can't force anyone to build anywhere.
Yeah, this is about industry.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Rike, look, let me tell you something. No,
I'm not going
to. No, don't tell me nothing. Let him finish. Go ahead,
No.
Jerry.
What?
Let him finish.
No, okay, go ahead.
Like, no.
Disregard the fact that you said you can force someone to build something.
Well, you can't force somebody.
You cannot.
But you can very much encourage.
You can put them in a tight spot, but you can't force nobody to do nothing.
Tight spot, guys.
Tight spot, boys. Tight spot.
How'd we get here?
Need some Deaf and Dan.
Well, you need
nobody.
You guys need to correct me.
If you get
stuff.
That reference, email me.
What?
BoardGameSnobs.com. No,
get the reference.
Nobody will get your Dapper Dan. We're in a tight spot, boys. Reference. No, I guarantee you. Right here. If you get that reference, please email us. BoardGameSnobs@gmail.com. Nobody get that.
Go.
Continue, Enrique.
Enrique.
Yeah.
We're in a tight spot. Don't seek the treasure.
Go ahead. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
Enough of you. I'm done.
Enrique?
What?
Okay. Fine. Fine. No, I'm done.
Fine.
Brass, done. Lancashire, and Birmingham. Huh? Okay. If you were to choose between one of the two.
Make me choose.
If you were...
Don't make me choose. I'll choose you every time.
Okay, so you equal.
No. If it's two-player, Lancashire with the two-player variant.
That's a cheat.
If it's Well, no, it's not. Not a cheat. If it's three-player and above, Birmingham. Birmingham.
We played three-player Lancashire just now.
And I enjoyed it thoroughly, but I think the Birmingham three-player way to go.
It gives a little bit more room.
Oh, we like that room. We're roomy here.
Even though this room is pretty...
Brass... Both Lancashire and Birmingham.
They are board game snobs approved.
Four thumbs up.
Six.
Yeah.
Because Enrique's here. So Enrique, if we both do two thumbs up, there's three of us.
Two, four, six.
That's six.
Six thumbs up.
Watch your thumbs up. Put your thumbs up.
And Enrique.
I hope this doesn't offend people who don't have opposable thumbs. Now let's go to a game.
Next.
The game that did not. Get any thumbs up.
Do we really have to bring it up?
I'm going
to
bring it up. This is a game that, of course, Gobby kickstarts and loves, and we've waited like 3 years to play this game.
And then
he gets it, and he puts it on the
deluxe version.
Gets the deluxe version.
Like you bought that.
And then next thing I know,
what?
Tell him, Enrique.
Like you just bought something, a deluxe version of a game.
It's made of solid gold. Like, it's got gold maples.
It sounded good. And sometimes you got to take a crack at it.
You can't just buy something because it sounds good.
You can't do it because it sounds good?
You research it.
You do it if it sounds bad?
You research it.
I did research it. Everybody's like, sounds good.
Yeah, all the people on the Kickstarter.
I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a certain reviewer that like it gets these paid promotions. Like, it's good. It's good. It's all good. Rise of Tribes.
It's not good.
It was boring.
I will say this. I probably enjoyed it.
It breaks my heart.
I probably enjoyed, even though I completely lost it, I enjoyed it
more. I completely won it.
Yet
I did not enjoy.
I enjoyed it.
I think I hated it worse than you did.
I enjoyed it probably the best of everybody.
I think so.
And the only reason I enjoyed it was that there is a mechanic with the dice that you have these four action spaces, and on top of those four action spaces there are three dice, and these dice are either blank, they have a moon, which are bad, or sun, which is good. And when you take an action, you roll two dice and you pick one of those dice to put at the top, put on that action space, and it bumps out the far right dice. And then you look at what dice you have there. Is there two star or two moons? It means that
two moons is a bad.
Two suns are good.
Suns is a good.
Anything in between
anything
that
else is average.
And it shows you the power of the action. The problem is that yes,
action selection.
It's action selection, but yes, you can mess up other people's turns by putting bad dice in certain areas, and that's kind of the strategy behind it. I don't think it's a bad mechanism. I just think it's far too random, and it's not enough to really plot out. Like, I never purposely did something to mess you up. And the actual gameplay of it, of going around this little modular board with your little meeples, was very boring.
I don't like modular boards. The meeples,
the fighting was boring. I'll tell you right now, you don't like tiles. Modular boards, such as Barony, such as Gold West. I love modular boards. If a board, I'll tell you right now, if a board is modular, is it something that will shake up every time I throw it out there? You already got me hooked. I already think, yes, this is going to be decent at least.
This must have let you down.
This let me down big time because the board was not that modular. There's only like three different types of
this is the deal.
Terrain.
I often say we're not a board game review podcast.
We're not.
Actually, I don't know that we don't.
We just
know.
I don't know
that I often say that.
We don't review. I say it.
I'm going to say it now if we haven't said it before. I don't consider myself a board game review person because I can't. Okay. I will say this.
What will you say?
No, I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
I'm not going to say it because you told me not to say it last time.
Oh, yeah. Don't say it.
As far as Brass Lancashire, there was another reviewer that put into words very much. I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. But I could never say those words. It was no pun included. There I said.
Who?
And his wife very clearly defined the way I felt about the game. But I could not say, I'm just not good with words. But Rise of Tribes, all I can tell you is some games, Brass, we sat down, kind of grasped it a little bit. And it gives me this feeling of like, this is very stressful, but yet I know what I need to do, but yet it's like I don't have much time to do it in. Rise of Tribes gave me none of those feelings.
Right. And that's what we're all about here, board game snobs. Not objective. Feelings. Not objective thought. No. Subjective feeling.
I'm very emotional.
Because we worry about people's feelings. anyways, Brass. Excellent game.
Wonderful.
Rise of Tribes.
Meh.
Very much meh to me.
I actively did not like Rise of Tribes.
I've not seen you dislike a game like this in a long time.
It bothers me because I was like, okay.
So and you won. You like blew us all away.
I won, but I could care less. I did not like it. It didn't literally. I was just going through the actions, just bored. It was all boring to me. The worker placement was boring. The fighting was boring. I had these goals. I was like, okay, well, I need to do this and this to reach this goal. Okay, that's some points. Blah, we're done. Big deal.
Enrique, your thoughts?
It's just, it was very boring to me. Like when it, like none of you two did not show any enthusiasm to it. So I'm just like,
I had to make a cup of coffee to stay awake.
And when I don't see any enthusiasm from you two toward a game, I'm just like, wow, this is boring.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And it was even on a tight modular board where there was conflict. We invaded each other.
That's why I didn't.
I could care less.
Like
the fighting in it was boring. That one for one mechanism was boring.
I guess that what you're trying to say here is that it was boring.
The whole game was boring.
Well, I'm sorry.
And I paid Kickstarter deluxe prices for it.
Well, that's what happened.
So if anybody would like a copy of this game, get at me.
Well, so those are our reviews, or not really reviews, our discussions. I would like to say that we had some fan mail here recently.
Oh, hey.
And you know I'm big on fan mail. This was from Peter Jank. Pete Jank.
Okay.
Well, I like the name Jank.
That's what I'm talking about.
First off, he says, I want to say that I love the podcast. Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate that.
It's unique and still informative in a backwards way. My question is, what is your favorite tactical card game involving mostly or only cards? I know you guys are strategy gamers with a pinch of war gamer. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, guys, and keep it up.
Will do.
So, I sent him a very nice email back.
What'd you say?
I recommended Mythotopia.
Never played it.
Which I have on my board here. Another Martin Wallace is why I bring it up.
Martin Wallace.
Mythotopia.
Why don't you just marry Martin Wallace?
Martin Wallace, if you're out there and you're single and you're ready to mingle.
Get at me.
I love Martin Wallace. He just seems like he's a great guy. He makes great nice. Games.
But yeah, Mythotopia was an excellent game, though.
It's a deck builder. I hate deck builders. It uses the same mechanisms found in A Few Acres of Snow, which A Few Acres of Snow is a two-player game. Mythotopia plays up.
A Few Acres of Snore.
Mythotopia plays up to four players. It is good, and it's always on sale on Miniature Market. You can get it for like $25.
Apparently, it's not that big a hit.
It's not that big a hit.
It's always on sale.
I'm ringing the bell. I'm proselytizing Mythotopia. I'm telling you, it is one of my favorite deck builders, and we're going to play it after this.
Okay,
when we hang up here.
Done.
The next recommendation I made was another game requires just a bunch of just eight cards and a small board.
King is dead.
King is dead. You want a game that will fry your brain.
King is dead.
By Osprey Games. Boom.
Osprey.
Another game I'm looking forward to coming out from Osprey is Cryptid.
Yes, it's out.
Is it out?
Yes, it's out. Well, I say it's out. I've seen people playing it on Instagram.
I'm going to buy it.
Is that like the hidden
player
or something?
I was going to buy it for you because it's hidden.
I love that.
I know. I hate hidden stuff, but you do.
I love it.
And there you go. The other two-player game that's just a card game is Hanamakoji. Love that game. We've talked about it a lot.
Yes.
But the other tactical card game that's not just cards that I didn't put on there was Royals. That has a big board and everything. It's not just cards, but it is playing cards.
Cards and cubes.
But it's just a big Royals, board.
Cards. A board and cubes. Cards drive it, though.
Yeah. Cards drive it. Anyways.
If I hold on. Hold on.
What am I holding on to?
You left off of that you don't care for, but I love.
What's that?
If you were to play an all-card game, strictly.
Do you know a group of cheetahs is called a coalition?
Yes. You discussed that last time.
Oh, go ahead.
You're repeating yourself now. Castles of Burgundy, the card game.
That is not tactical. He said tactical card game, and that game is a snooze fest.
If you want an excellent game.
No.
In a card game.
Not approved.
Especially solo.
Me.
It is a good solo game. Cards, Castles of Burgundy, go.
A group of ferrets is called a business. And I think you should mind your own.
I think you're going to have to write these down because you're going to start going over them again.
I'll do whatever I want to do.
It's business time.
Yeah, I'll do whatever I want to do because that's how it is. That's okay, how it be.
Well, fine. Go ahead.
That's what I, anyways, Pete, thank you for your email.
Mr. Jank, appreciate it.
Mr. Jank. And that's pretty much all. That's all I had.
Okay.
I want to talk about Brass, which I did. I want to talk about Rise of Tribe.
Rise of Tribe. Brass. Buy both of them. You'll love them both.
If you,
Rise of Tribe.
Wait a minute.
Stink.
Quickly. If you had to buy one, Rike, which one?
It would be Brass.
Wait. Well, I mean, which
one? Oh, I'm sorry. Like, right when you said that, I was like,
Brass.
Birmingham.
Birmingham.
You.
Birmingham.
Probably Birmingham. Yeah, Birmingham.
You're right.
Oh, it's good. Okay. But you can't go wrong with either one. If you're an old Brass player, get it. Got it. Boom. Good.
Rise of Tribes, skip. Hard pass.
Pass.
Snooze fest.
Fans.
Boring. Entry level gateway, it may be, but it's still super boring.
Well.
Fans, friends, and lovers, thank you for listening. This is Jerry.
I'm Gabby.
And this is it.
Thank you for tolerating this episode of the Board Game Snobs. Stay classy.